Welcome to the third episode of Risky Biz Talks, our show where we invite industry experts for short conversations on developing topics in the cybersecurity industry. My name is Cătălin Câmpanu, a former cybersecurity reporter and current host of the Risky Biz News podcast and attached newsletter. In today's show, we have the one and only Vitali Cremes, a well-known ransomware expert and the CEO of threat intel company Advanced Intelligence. I've asked Vitali to come chat with me today because of a recent Twitter thread he posted a few days back when he made a pretty radical prediction that the current ransomware as a service landscape will eventually go away within the next year.
So basically, we've been seeing since the 2022 was one of the most groundbreaking years we've seen in the history of basically cybercrime. For one is obviously the war in Ukraine. And this sort of the attack has happened, and we've seen a lot of activity specifically both on the sanctioning side. As you know, Russia was heavily sanctioned for both involvement in the war. And obviously there's lots of there's been a lot of overt and both of as we call it shadow sanctions and ban of Russia in general as a country, which affected both actually cryptocurrency brokers. And what's interestingly enough, as soon as the Conti ransomware back then, they declared their allegiance to Russia, it led to companies who have been infected with Conti and basically who had all the backups destroyed and systems, they were not able to recoup basically or buy even a decryptor. And the reason why, it's pretty simple, because what we do, we work quite closely with cyber insurance sector itself, the businesses that actually insure companies from cyber and ransomware attacks. And we've seen that since that attack happened is the whole system was in disarray. So criminals didn't understand why they're not getting paid. Conti for a period of time had 15 chats opened with victims, and none of the victims were ever paying and buying lockers because the brokers were refusing to deal with anything with Russia. It's almost there's been a shadow ban as well in Russia itself to deal with anything with ransomware specifically. And in light of the war, it's obviously exacerbated the whole situation. So what we've seen is the criminals are not getting paid. The branding of criminal groups has become very toxic. So Conti is not only the ex-Conti members has acquired a reputation. As soon as Logbit or Conti group said that we support Russia, they were automatically banned by the whole group of as we call it, data breach coaches and also a whole people who assist with data breach negotiations and data breach recovery systems. And what it's led to in reality is, by and large, we classify a lot of businesses of ransomware extortion are Russian, quote unquote, businesses. And they're not able to get money paid. And the victims decided to do two aspects in reality. They're trying to improve their backup practices and also knowing that they're not able to procure a decryptor or not able to even communicate with hackers because of the sanctions and the implications of violating sanctions in the middle of this crisis. It led to a shadow and again, an overt ban. And also I think the second element of that, why we think the industry is dying because the evolution of backup software were the effect of the locker. It should be a shocker across all these entities where it should put the entity offline, make the entity or the corporate not be able to function. The effect of that has been largely reduced because of the implementation of backup software services, which and as well as the physical backups. And we've seen through across at least 30 negotiations where the criminal groups were barely surviving. They're barely making any money whatsoever. And what they've realized is the best way forward is not to actually use a locker, because locker is the biggest and the weakest link, so to speak, for them, because it's an attribution. So Conti cannot get paid. Ex-Conti members cannot get paid. And what we've seen is the groups who are getting paid a lot and still up to this date, and the most successful are those that are doing exfiltration. Those are the groups that trade information versus locker deployments. And that's what I think in the ransomware as a service, as a system, I think it's quite archaic. It's been on decline for quite some time. And I think in the world as we see it and as we predicted earlier, that it will completely die out and shift towards targeted exfiltration and more negotiations for the extortion data. If you think about the Graph Diamond case investigation back then, where Graph Diamonds was affected by Locker, and as well as exfiltration. They actually paid $7.5 million, it's a public case, to Conti ransomware just to remove the data. They did not even bite on anything Locker. They restored the data in some capacity. They were incapacitated by the breach. But the most important aspect for the huge organization is the data itself. And since 2022, we've seen the full trend of all the groups we know of who are sophisticated enough, basically ex-Conti members, creating their own subgroups and running their own data exfil operation, targeting the most sophisticated entities in the world. Because it's quite frankly easier for them to do exfiltration than Locker operation, but also it's a trend we've seen in general. And that's something that portrayed by the evidence that we have able to see through our own collections and botnet and visibility into the breaches, basically.
So let's say that in a wishful thinking scenario, the war in Ukraine ends and the sanctions are lifted. Do you see a return to the classic ransomware landscape? Or are we in a state where we're stuck in this corporate extortion scheme going forward?
I believe we will be stuck with the corporate extortion scheme for a while. Like if you think about even now, the way there's still some groups that do classical carding or classical account takeover fraud through the bank fraud, so to speak. However, that model itself sort of like proved itself not valuable, and due to the fact that they're not able to even get paid, even in those data breaches. So once the war is over, the only way it can go back to, or at least, you know, evolve into, again, another Locker operations, if basically we have a complete lift of all sanctions of Russia, and basically, and then we have another review and see new evolutions in the Locker side as well, because the effect of Locker has been largely minimized. It's no longer a shocker. So it has to evolve the new versions of the tool. We've seen some groups been doing something very clever, Catalin, as well. We've seen them basically writing their own tools, specifically dealing with aspects of steganography. So the exfiltration will become an art where basically they'll use some more insider techniques, like I think with Lapsus, or you think about Jan Luwan groups, where they write exfiltration tools just to sort of like bypass DLP, data loss protection systems. That will become an art of itself. But I think it's, and some groups would refuse to deploy a Locker. Rather, they will just try to DDoS org and cause business loss interruption through other means outside of data encryption. And that's something that we have observed, and that's something I think will happen in the near future. It will be an evolution of sort of a method that deals with extortion and another method of deals with business interruption. And the business interruption has been dealt quite handily with ransomware Lockers before. But I think in future, even if the war is gone, it has to, the ransomware and Locker business has to evolve. And if and when they find a tool that deals with the business loss interruption in the way it was been doing it since 2019, since the heyday of Ryuk, it will come back. Otherwise, it will be a dead business by the end of the year or so.
As you said, ransomware is now a toxic brand, mainly due to their shenanigans in the press, their closeness to the Russian government, and how they've dealt with some past incidents. Nobody wants to deal with them anymore, but have you seen this stuff even before the Russian war? Were people getting tired of dealing with these groups even before that?
We have. I guess the prime example of something that has happened before that you'll see happening in a larger scale, if you think about the BitPaymer group, the group that's associated with the Evil Corp, the group is dead officially, basically. They have some minor, you know, basic tweaks and ransomware. Every time they came back with a new payload, we were seeing through the code similarity from some other analysis, it's the same Evil Corp. People refuse, the brokers would refuse to deal and provide cryptocurrency services for the companies that are affected with those groups. And effectively, Evil Corp has to either evolve or stop business. And some of members completely left the Evil Corp group. Some of them basically evolved into some other operations. But the Evil Corp is officially dead as of now, as of August 17, 2022. And I think this is something we'll see in a larger, much larger scale, where the majority of groups will sort of like either stick with exfiltration or resort back to more traditional crime systems and, so to speak, use the fraud. Fraud is still quite active, even though, but the idea around extortions and digital extortion will be prevalent still, with or without a Locker. So the Locker is a component. The build and component is also sort of like, it's also the weakest link, as I mentioned. It's the attribution link, and they don't want to be attributed to any groups. We'll see in future lots of unknown, no name groups exfiltrating data, going into the stock, sort of like brokers and traders, putting their own blogs. We'll never know who they are. And that's the reality we'll deal with. The brands of, as you mentioned, of ransomware groups will be so toxic, and nobody would want to maintain a longer brand for the public eye. They will be pretending to be a different group. They will be misattributing a lot. And that's something would allow the only way they would actually get money, unless they convince the world they're someone else, not Conti operators.
Now, regarding corporate espionage and extortion, I remember in the early 2010s, this was a practice back then, but I remember specifically that extortion rarely went over, let's say, $500,000. Like, if you got $500,000, you're some of the best extortionists on the market. Do you think that this double extortion scheme that ransomware operators have been going through the past few years has also raised the sums people pay for these corporate extortions? What are the fees that are people paying these days? Are they in line with classic ransomware payments?
I would say that the fees are got even higher. If you're thinking about the Grab Diamonds is a good example. They paid $7.5 million after a month after the data breach only to get their data back. In chats with Conti, they even said overtly when we reviewed, they said they're not interested in decryptor. They're interested only to ensure the Conti group removes the data because there are lots of celebrities who are part of the data, basically. They paid $7.5 million. In couple of weeks ago, or even this week, we had a victim we worked on, and basically who paid approximately over $3 million only for the data from their network that exited. Obviously, what we've seen is actually with data extortion is the prices are actually pretty high, especially when they deal with high, the criminals oftentimes use the Zoom info as the source to inquire information on the company. As they call it, triple K, the entity with $1 billion revenue listed. Those are the ones that will pay a handsome fee for data leak, removals. And it's actually got pretty high. We've seen as high as 7.5. We've seen at 6 million. We've seen last week, 3.5 million. A week before, we've seen at 2 million. The median, I would say, price and extortion on the most sophisticated groups, the one we actually reported on, linked to bazaar call or callback phishing operations, are literally in a range of 500,000, something along those lines. And those groups are very, very successful. But even I can even say to that we've never seen the groups even being more successful, because I believe, quite honestly, that ransomware business has been very opportunistic. It has not been sort of like historically targeted. Like TrickBot was only getting to the system it could, but now with the data exfil, so they don't need to move around the lateral, basically, network. They can basically get the user credentials, exfiltrate data from the corporate environment as if they are an insider, and extort the organizations. They don't need to perform long covert operations as they used to before getting domain admin. It's simplified for them, the approach, but also pays them back handsomely. And one of the targets, one of the team's goals for the year of 2022 is to earn $300 million for the whole team. So that's something that tells you that some of the group members in administrator group of ex-Conti, they make at least 20 to 30 million a year just simply doing exfiltration only. And that's something we think the prices of that and the activity will rise as well.
So you're saying they now stand to make even more money than they made before?
Precisely.
And you're saying that attacks take less time to execute, so this means they effectively found a better way and a faster way to make money.
Yep. We've seen actually what's something interesting is the evolution of their even initial access. So oftentimes they actually have call centers now where the individuals are spoken by the actual. So actually ransomware groups want to talk to you. So the ransomware, ex-former ransomware groups, the exfiltration groups want to talk to company individuals. They want to entice them to install a payload, and they rely on a human element. And we've seen the game of them engaging the end users has elevated. They're basically got so much better of convincing Western users and US countries to install a payload and also negotiate. They look professional, they sound professional. Back in the day when I read Ryuk negotiation logs that we obtained, they're like all like so simple and so like incoherent. They can respond only one phrase at a time. They couldn't build a sentence in English language. Now they're proficient. They're really got really good at that. Another thing that I think will happen is that they're basically open source teams, OSINT teams get so much better. And another aspect that I think that will evolve, it's kind of more a little bit more radical, I guess, prediction as well. I think we've seen the birth of cybercrime enterprises. If you think about the Consi leaks or and what has occurred before, or you know, people who are not who didn't know that information and got exposed in multiple big ways to the world, what exposes the whole cybercrime enterprise. So when you're thinking about the company attacks in the world, it's not, you know, kind of like it is gangs, but also we classify them cybercrime enterprises because they it feels like it's a company attacking for its other company. And what's the most valuable asset the other company holds? It's their data. So it really feels as you know, espionage activities. And if and when Russia sanctions those groups, allow them a sort of like a free rein, they'll obviously, you know, even elevate their activity and do even more openly that type of like, you know, Russia protection, so to speak, you know, Western, let's punish the West type of activities. I think it's possible it will happen. However, you know, it's something yet to occur. I think it's in the future, as this conflict in Ukraine evolves, it will be the bellwether on the conditions of how the e-crime and cybercrime systems will be either sanctioned or like rather like more sanctioned by the world or more whitelisted and more glorified in Russia as the heroes that protect the country from Western, basically spies in Western interest. So it's something to be seen in the future.
In your Twitter thread, you also said that you see the ransomware negotiation ecosystem die out. But from what you described so far, there still appears to be a need for someone to intermediate these extortion negotiations in some form. Why do you think these companies are going to die out regardless?
It's an interesting question. Yeah, certainly happy to elaborate. In 2019 until 2021, there are lots of businesses were literally built out of extortion business, or actually locker business. As you know, the companies were built with this idea that they will the locker business will continuously grow. They'll have an infinite number of cases. They'll be acting on behalf of a customer. They'll be trading bitcoins or, you know, Moneros, and they'll be basically decrypting, quote unquote, obtaining decryptors for companies and doing some response. Since 2022, since the war began, we've seen the major IR firms laying off at least 20% of their workforce. The cases they used to get before in, you know, KDA, Ryu, Conti, they're not getting anymore. So the consultancy hours to build the customers and sort of like, you know, and use that as a way to get business, it's no longer the same. We've seen a decline in the cyber insurance sector as well. There are less cases dealing with specifically with ransomware. And the companies who are especially small and medium-sized incident response firms and breach sort of like negotiators are not getting business anymore because this business is kind of moving away. And what's another aspect that kind of like aids that prediction that when you're thinking about the data exfiltration, it's something also I've mentioned that that's basically that 2022 will be the largest year with the largest figure of unreported data breach exfiltration events. What that means is many companies we know, they're obligated to report if the cyber intrusion has occurred. In many cases we know of where the exfiltration has occurred, it will remain quite silent. Not many companies will be reporting that because there's not much business loss interruption. There's not much website unavailability to see for the news and journalists to see and report on. So it always will be pretty shadow, will be in the background. The companies will be dealing and are dealing with criminals in the background without reporting that those events. And it's all, and another thing that we've seen is most of the time the companies will refuse to hire external incident response firms because they will open them for publicity. It will become a very non-public events. They'll be dealt with accordingly, according to the process the companies already have dealing with insider threat cases. What we've seen some many companies treat those exfiltration as insider threat investigation almost one-to-one. And there's almost all of this case and unreportable. And those figures will grow. And also we've seen, of course, the maturity of the teams internally. We've seen the big organizations refusing to hire consultants, but rather working and building their own capabilities on site. And that's sort of the new evolution of 2022, I would say, as well.
So basically what you're saying is that companies are starting to view negotiators as a legal liability, like another person who knows about the incident and might talk. And if they can keep it in-house, they'll keep it in-house.
Precisely, precisely. And I think that was sort of like, we've seen in general, like I think when ransomware got introduced, it's sort of like been a foreign element. At this point, it's been all over the news. People learned there was a novelty moment around ransomware back then. And I think the expertise and all that sort of like, you know, like the smoke and mirrors of some of the industry professionals, and so to speak, were kind of like put on the back, you know, put some companies aback, and they're unwilling to engage with them any longer, but rather they're willing to work with their own basic practices. Rather, they'll engage the third party cryptocurrency firm to move the money for them rather than working with the basically the shadow brokers, quote unquote. And that's something that has happened as well.
I think that wraps it up. Thank you, Vitaly, for agreeing to come on the show and expand on the interesting prediction you made earlier this week, which I know got many of your colleagues thinking really hard on how ransomware gangs will evolve going forward.
No, of course. Thank you for the invitation.